My name's Scott. Please join with me in reading the Bible this morning. We're going to read from Exodus chapter 1. So I've got your Bible here. Open it up to Exodus 1 or your device. Fire it up. It's the second book in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 1. These are the names of the sons of Israel who went to Egypt with Jacob, each with his family. Reuben, Simeon, Levi and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. The descendants of Jacob numbered 70 in all. Joseph was already in Egypt. Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died, but the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. "Look," he said to his people, "the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country." So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labour, and they built Pitom and Rameses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labour in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labour, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Sifra and Puah, "When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people, "Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live."
Good morning. Keep your Bibles open there to Exodus chapter 1 and 2. We're going to look largely at chapter 1, but we'll spend a little bit of time in chapter 2 as well. If I haven't mentioned before, my name is Stu. I'm the lead pastor here at Southern Cross. If you're new to Southern Cross, it'd be good to be able to come to my place in 2 weeks' time. I'd say to tradesmen, it's the ugliest house in the street, and they find me straight away, but it's very warm and cosy inside, so you'll be well and warmly welcomed. If you could pray for me as well this coming week, I've got a study week, and I'll be looking at renewal and the difference between renewal and escapism with a case study on addiction. So you can pray for me across the course of this week as I reflect in that space. Let me pray, and we'll head into Exodus. Father, please help us this morning. Pray that we might cling to your promises in the midst of a dark and a hostile world. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you do when it's dark? What do you do when you're afraid? What do you do when you're in trouble? What do you do when you watch the news? Do you find yourself looking at the clouds? Do you have memories? Do you find it hard to keep telling your story again and again? Life can be hard. Our circumstances can be bewildering. Darkness may be all around you. And it's into that darkness that we descend here as we begin the book of Exodus. I'm not going to paint too much of a background or a backdrop to the book, but simply note, as we read in chapter 1 of Exodus, things are grim. They don't look good. Things look dark and bleak for God's people. The question for us is, can God intervene into the dark? Can he do it into hopelessness? Can he do it into this frightful scene? Well, let's turn to God's word, to Exodus chapter 1 and 2. God's people Israel are under a ruthless regime. A superpower is exerting cruel and barbaric force. It's a horrifying scene. Have a look at chapter 1 and verse 10. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they'll become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. The dominant power is Egypt. They see firstly a threat from Israel's growth. And then the threat, did you notice, turns, I don't know, into an opportunity, I thought, from verse 11 to 14. But we ought to know this is far from good business practice. I don't think the Egyptians are going to be a pin-up for the Financial Review or Time magazine. Can you imagine the title? Courageous Leaders Exploring New Markets. Rather, a report from the United Nations, a rampaging superpower who shrewdly, ruthlessly, harshly, barbarically, bitterly oppress a people. Do you notice that descriptive language? Verse 11, verse 12, this is chapter 1, verse 13, verse 14. And the dismay does not stop there. The darkness only gets deeper, colder, and blacker. Verse 16. When you're helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see the baby is a boy, I read this to my boys this week over breakfast, and I let them finish the sentence, and they did. Kill him. We continue, if it's a girl, let her live. Remember in verse 8, the new king Pharaoh was aiming to deal shrewdly with them. This isn't a shrewd act. It's genocide. It's disgraceful. It's pitiful. Dark days have descended on God's people. And what is the mood amongst God's people? Abandoned, doubtful, flustered, helpless, perturbed, threatened, defeated, afraid, crushed, fearful, frightened, intimidated, uncomfortable, unsettled, terrified. In 2001, George W. Bush remarked, he looked into the soul of the Russian leader Putin and he saw a trustworthy man deeply committed to his country and the best interests of his country. The American media in the years that followed heavily critiqued the comment and remarked, Bush got it half right. Putin was absolutely committed to Russia and Russia's interests, but trustworthy? I think Bush's own CIA, they continue, and FBI specialists would have told him to read his intelligence briefs more closely before opening his mouth. American Senator later said, John McCain, I looked into Putin's eyes and I saw three letters, KJB, a reference to the former Soviet Union security agency. When Israel looks into the eyes of Pharaoh, what do they see? Ruthless, bitter, harsh oppression, and a dark determination to rid his nation of God's people using whatever means that were available to him. It's a ruthless regime. Darkness dominates, a gloomy mood hung in the air. The light is gone. Could God's people intervene into this hopeless situation? Well, let's look again across chapters 1 and 2 as we see God turn the tables. When all looks like it's lost, destruction, darkness and death rules the day, God taunts this superpower Egypt. He turns the tables, mocking the regime and securing the promise of God's people. Because did you notice how chapter 2 concludes? I'm going to get you to go there. Chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. God heard their groaning. He remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. What did God do in those verses? Rescan chapter 2 and verse 24 and 25. Okay, shout it out. What did he do? He heard. Remembered. Concerned, yep. I've got four here. We've got three so far. I had looked as well. God heard, God remembered, God looked, God was concerned. God turned the tables. That's not in the text. But do you want to know what was the dynamite in this extraordinary win? It's what David mentioned. It was the promise. It's the covenant, the pledge, chapter 2 and verse 24. God remembers his pledge, his covenant, his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It goes all the way back, not just from Exodus 2 and 24, but to Genesis 12 and verse 2 and 3. This says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I'll make your name great. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless you, and whoever curses you, I'll curse, and all people on the earth will be blessed through you. That's the promise. This is the promise, the lever. It's the muscle that flexes. It's the plan that prevails. Because sadly, what we don't see as we open the English Bible is the first word of Exodus is what? What is the first word in your English Bible? Chapter 1, verse 1. Sorry, I still didn't hear. These, yes. It should start with and. Our English teachers held the translators to ransom. They certainly would not let a sentence in English start with and. Can you imagine the English staff room? Did you hear Exodus starts with and? Preposterous! We hear them cry. Hideous! They cry. One of the poor English teachers fainted in disgust. And yet, in fact, in Hebrew class, not so. They boldly, confidently, excitedly clear their voices. They speak strongly and clearly as they read from Exodus chapter 1, verse 1, and these are the names of the sons of Israel. You don't know why I've turned all teacher on you. You're like, what is he going on about? It is to teach us the story didn't end in Genesis. The story continues in Exodus. And what is the story? Well, look to children's Bibles to find the answer. The big picture Bible. Let me read. This is the introduction to the Bible. This one. It says, the big picture story Bible presents this remarkable true story. Simple words and striking illustrations unfold the storyline of God's word from Genesis to Revelation. All ages will enjoy this exciting discovery of a God who keeps his big promise. Where am I going with all this? And God keeps his promise here in Exodus against this ruthless regime. And God remembered his promise, and God heard, and God looked, and he was concerned, and God and. I hope I didn't cause any of you to faint. God made a promise, and he would not ruthlessly, but he would relentlessly pursue the promise. And we see this in the book of Exodus. He would affirm this promise in the most incredible way. I wondered if you picked it up as we read. The superpower of the day, the most powerful man in the world, Pharaoh, is overpowered by who? The Hebrew midwives in chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. Pharaoh tries to divide God's people, but through these gutsy women, God multiplies his people. Did you notice that? Pharaoh tries to use the river to kill in chapter 2 and verse 1. Instead, his own household uses the river to save in chapter 2 and verse 6. Do you see the majestic irony? The powerful satire, the depth of mockery. Pharaoh divides, God multiplies. Pharaoh kills, God saves, using his own Pharaoh's daughter. Monday, February 28 was a dark day for our city. You might use these words to describe it: destructive, shocking, troubling, ugly, disturbing, sad, hopeless. Those feelings remain true. And yet God has uniquely been able to use the horror to spring forth hope. Since our Drop Love Fund was established, our fractured church family has been inundated with generosity. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars have poured into the fund, and it has brought a stream of hope to broken lives. Over the Easter weekend, three Sydney churches decided to run an Easter appeal for our staff team that may have lost their jobs throughout 2022. Yet in some cases, these churches received double what they expected to collect, therefore retaining our staff team at Southern Cross for 2022. You may have known at our AGM this year, I said there was a pledge from a church in Sydney for $30,000. $60,000 came in. We use these funds to steward the hope of the promise. God can use strange means to flex his muscles and his dominion, achieving his goals and relentlessly pursuing his promises for his world. Deep darkness can be a place of chronic despair. Leaves us dejected, scared, afraid, and hopeless. And yet, light from dark places is often how God acts in our dark world. Who is light? What is darkness? Jesus, the light, came into a dark world. Do you notice this? He's rejected by his own people in John chapter 1. His people's king, Israel's monarch, tries to kill him. Ironically, the baby Jesus is saved and protected in Egypt from Israel's king in Jerusalem. Satan would use whatever means he could to frustrate the promise of God being fulfilled. Jesus dies, Satan thinks he's winning. Jesus in dying is saving. The firm, steadfast, and secure promise was safe. In the 1970s, the president of Ethiopia implemented what was called Red Terror. 1.5 million people died and churches were shut down. When the ruthless regime fell, no one was sure what would remain. God turned the tables. God's people met secretly in homes. The church had not only survived, but had grown. God had purposed to keep his promise, and he would not let Pharaoh or Satan or Putin or the Ethiopian president to destroy them. Confidence in the purposes of God allows us to be courageous in obeying God. It is that confidence that enabled the gutsy Hebrew midwives to act the way they did in chapter 1 and verse 17. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. As we read along in Exodus, we're confronted with the choice: will we fear humans or will we fear God? What did these gutsy women do? Because they feared God, they held him in higher awe than the superpower of the day. Don't underestimate what these women did. It was gutsy, brave, daring, bold, audacious, and very, very risky. The 17th century church leader, William Gurnall, was provocative and powerfully perceptive when he said, "We fear men so much because we fear God so little." If you want to read of some gutsy Christian leaders, can I encourage you to consider reading something Susan and I worked through in our marriage time, and it's a book called For the Joy. It's by 21 Australian missionary mothers and stories of cross-cultural parenting and life. If you go into, you can go onto our website or in the Church Family News that comes via email, or you can click on the Church Family News button. On the website, you'll find a hyperlink, so you could buy that book if you choose to. Reading the book, however, comes with a warning. Have tissues close by as you read the life of these women. And yet, fantastically, you can read and watch the life of many, many gutsy women here at Southern Cross, who share with others the promises of God in a culture that does not want to hear about Christ. These women in our midst are gutsy, brave, daring, bold, audacious, and very, very risky. My exhortation to the men in the room is to look yourself in the eye in a mirror and consider if you have the guts to fear God more than you fear men. For the men, that might mean looking less at the scales for your muscle development, looking less at your Strava to see your times, and take a look into your soul and consider looking to some gutsy people like Gabby. Now, if you put Gabby up in front of an English class and made her read aloud, she might faint. And yet, as the darkness of the flood swept over our city, she was like an angel of light, bringing warmth and care and hope. I'd like to read to you an email our staff team received from a sister who watched Gabby and her beautiful clean team. It goes like this. "My sister has been blown away by the depth of generosity and is most grateful not only to the church but to Gabby and the crew, who have been helping her in many more ways than just lifting and cleaning." Now to close, three statements of blessing and multiplication occur across Exodus chapter 1. It's in verse 7, 12 and 20. Despite Israel being oppressed and threatened, by the end of chapter 2, we see God's people prosper driven by this promise. And again, if you keep reading the Bible story, read through Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Number, keep going. Again and again throughout Israel's history, the future looks very fragile. Successive armies look to wipe them out. And yet God's people, as they're going on in history, can look back to the story in Exodus of the hope and find confidence that no matter what, no matter how dark or cold or bleak things appear, God is at work bringing his promises to bear, bringing light in darkness, tearing down ruthless regimes and bringing hope in despair. How will Southern Cross survive in the face of increasing hostility? How do you survive in your workplace or your home? How do you be gutsy when your friends despise your faith? Who will you invite to Food for Thought Sunday, May 29? Better yet, who will you invite along to our term series as we meet God? Or, who could you invite to read John's Gospel throughout 2022 in Word 1-1? God has promised to fill the earth with the glory of Christ. God has promised to build his church. God is still on the throne. He is the one we fear, no one else. And now let me tell you how the story ends. This is from page 448. The last page, or the last pages in the big picture Bible. John awoke from his vision. John smiled and knew. All God's promises, all the things Jesus had told him years ago were true. The old man could hardly write fast enough. He'd seen the very good ending waiting for everyone who follows Jesus as God's King. There he is. God's forever people will one day live in God's forever place under God's forever rule. Can you believe it? Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Pharaoh is not king. Putin is not king. Satan is not king. Jesus is king. We fear him. We love him. And we aim to be gutsy people who proclaim him. Let's pray. Let's talk to our relentless and gutsy God. Father, we want to thank you that your promises could not be bitterly or harshly or shrewdly denied, but all your promises are yes to us in the Lord Jesus. We are sorry that we fear people much more than we fear you. We feel dejected, bullied, and alone and silent. Please help us by the power of your Holy Spirit, reminding us, strengthening us, hiding us in Christ so we would not be afraid, but with guts and courage proclaim Jesus as King. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.